Good morning. It's good to have you here, especially if you're visiting with us. It is a privilege, it is a blessing to have you with us in our house, with our church family, and you are always welcome here. Thank you for being here today. Well, if you didn't know or you didn't remember, I'm sure it hit you when you came on the campus and saw all the kids dressed up what day today is, right? Today is Halloween. And, you know, normally Halloween is associated with what? Ghouls, goblins, witches, you know, darkness, evil, fear. And so as I was thinking about what the Lord wanted me to speak today, I felt, you know, I think the Lord wants me to speak on something totally opposite of those things. And so he put on my heart to speak on L-O-V-E, love. So we're going to speak on love today, and it's something I think the world desperately needs today, right? The world needs more of the Lord's and of love. And so let me start, as we talk about love, let me start with a question, right? Let's imagine that scientists invented a pill, and by giving this pill to someone, that person would act lovingly towards you for the rest of their life. Wow. All right, you have this pill. Now the question to you is, would you give it to someone? Would you give it to your spouse, kind of slip it in their, you know, their rice or something? Would you give it to your children? Would you give it to your boss or, you know, a neighbor or someone you know? Would you give it? Turn to your neighbor and just tell him if you think you would give anyone that pill. I think, all joking aside, I imagine all of you probably said no, right? Probably said no. Very tempting, right? Wouldn't it make life a lot easier? You just slip that thing in your child's, like, you know, milk, right? And then, but I think none of us would do it. Why? Because we know that that's not genuine love, right? It's not true love, because a key ingredient to love is freedom. The person has to be free to choose of their own will to demonstrate, to show, to act lovingly and to display love. And so, you know, love is a powerful thing. And one thing I'm absolutely certain of when it comes to love, one thing I know for sure is that every person, every one of us, you desire to experience and to be loved genuinely for who you are. Every one of us longs for, desires in our heart of hearts to be loved for who we are. You were made to be loved. You were created to be loved and to love. You were made to be loved and to love. Now, if that's true, if all of us genuinely want to be loved, if all of us want to be loved, then what is love? What is love, and where do we find it? Well, I came up with my own definition of love. You can agree or disagree, but I came up with my own definition of love. And love is interesting because love could be a noun, right? Or love could be a verb. So love is a noun. My definition is being valued simply for who you are. That's my one definition of love as a noun. It's just being loved for who you are. For the person you are, all the good and all the bad, all the beautiful and all the warts and everything, you're fully loved, you're fully known and fully loved for who you are. Okay, so that's, or valued for who you are. So that's my one definition. But as a verb, it's to love is to act for the good and benefit of another person without requiring something first or something in return. So it's acting on behalf of an or for another person, doing something for another person that's totally for their benefit without expecting something in return, without asking them to give you something first. It's just for their good. Okay, they're good. That's my definition. You know, society, right? Society depicts and paints love in many different ways, right? In a variety of ways. One of the ways, you know, I've seen over the years, I just turned 60 not too long ago, so over the six decades, ooh, that's frightening. Over the six decades, right, I've seen this more and more and more and more. One way, especially in the media or in movies, one way love is depicted as sex, right? Today, I think we've become very numb to how sexualized our society has become. We've seen it countless, I don't know how many times we've seen in movies where the line is used, if you love me, blank, 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 right? You'll go to bed with me. It's frightening to think how often that line has been used, you know, with high schoolers, people around the world over the decades, right? And so that's one view that the world paints of love, society paints. Another view is society paints love as romance, right? It's like love is that moonlight walk along the beach and holding hands, right? Kind of reminds me of that Taco Bell commercial. If you've seen that Taco Bell commercial recently, right? They make eye contact across the campfire. They go frolicking on the beach in the water. And then, you know, they're about to kiss, right? That's what's viewed as romance, right? You know, did you know there's three types of kisses? There's probably more, but three types of kisses, right? One is peach, like this little peck, peach. That's a kiss, right? A second type of kiss is prune, right? That's a second type of kiss, prune. And the third type of kiss, you know what it is? Alfalfa, right? Alfalfa. Now let me let you in on a secret. It's a secret. It's not that much of a secret, but it's a secret that every couple who has been married for any length of time knows this. Romantic love fades, right? If you've been married for over several years, you know, it's so funny because I've done a lot of premarital counseling over the years. And in the premarital counseling, they have to fill out this like assessment. It's like this tool. And one of the questions on the tool is, do you think romantic love will fade in your relationship? And then the responses are strongly agree, undecided, disagree, or strongly disagree. It's amazing how many couples put disagree, that romantic love will not fade in our relationship. And I try not to snicker, or I try not to laugh when I see that. If you wrote that in your premarital, you know, grace, you've realized the errors of your ways now, because romantic love fades. Because it's very easy to fall in love. What's hard is staying in maintaining love. That's where the rubber meets the road. When all the emotions fade, the infatuation fades, your differences come out, that's where the rubber meets the road, right? But society paints love as romance. Another way society paints love, I think, it's meeting each other's needs, meeting one another's needs. And I think there's a lot of promise in that perspective, right? We can give love and we can receive love. We help one another. We meet each other's needs, right? That's a good picture of love. But again, to consistently do that requires a mature and an emotionally healthy person.
You know, Pastor Andy Stanley, he gave this talk, and he cites this panel of really brilliant experts got together. So this panel of experts got together, and they gave their list of what a person needs to receive in childhood to be a healthy, loving, emotionally, you know, healthy person that's able to engage in long-lasting relationships. So they say, what does it take for a person to engage in long-lasting relationships? Or what does it take for a person to be consistently loving, meeting another person's needs over a sustained period of time? What does that take? And what does a person need to receive in childhood? This is the list they came up of the things you need to receive in childhood to be an emotionally healthy person able to engage in a long-term relationship. This is their list right here. Respect, encouragement, comfort, security, support, acceptance, approval, appreciation, attention, and affection, and these 10 things in massive quantities. They said, this is what you need to have received in childhood to be able to engage in long-term, healthy, right, giving, loving relationship. Do you see a problem with this? How many people have received these 10 things in big quantities as children growing up? Respect, encouragement, comfort, security, support, acceptance, approval, appreciation, attention, affection. You know, I kind of thought about this. I prayed and thought about this. And the picture I felt like the Lord gave me is that many people, it's like we're in a desert. And we're being asked to give out water to other people. The problem is when you're in a desert, water is very scarce, like this. And so everyone's thirsty, and you're thirsty. And so even if you wanted to, you're very reluctant or hesitant or even incapable of sharing water with other people, because it's scarce. And many of us have grown up with scarcity in terms of our, this is a Kylo term, love tank being filled. Now, another picture, right? I think many people that, but what if you grew up in a place like this? What if you're like that? You're next to this huge reservoir of crystal clear water that you could get anytime you want and as much as you want. Maybe you grew up like this and you were one of the few blessed people where your family gave you massive amounts of all those 10 things. Then this would be the picture perhaps of your life. Then sharing love, sharing water with thirsty people, it's no problem. Because you have access to this huge reservoir of water. And so giving and sharing, it's very easy, very natural to do. What if we had access to this type of unlimited abundance, that our thirst was always satisfied? Or whenever we felt thirsty, there was a place we could go to get our thirst quenched so that we could easily share with other people. When it comes to love, do you feel like you're living in a desert? When it comes to your childhood growing up, do you feel like, man, when I look at the list of 10 things, yeah, I got a few of them, some of them, but not that much. I wish I could have gotten a lot more of a lot of those things. What do your actions say? If someone's looking at your life and your actions, would they say, oh, that person, they're living in a reservoir or next to a reservoir? Or would they say, oh, that person seems awfully thirsty? What would your spouse say? What would your kids say? What would your family or friends say? Well, where do we find this? Where do we find this? One place. G-O-D. God. You could find this with God. You could find this with Jesus. 1 John 4:8 says this. In the Bible, book of 1 John 4:8. But anyone who does not love does not know God. For God is love. God is that huge reservoir, unlimited reservoir of love. So much so that the Bible says right here, if someone doesn't love, then they don't know God, because God is the source. God is the reservoir. God is the unlimited abundance of love. John 7:38, very interesting. Jesus says this. Anyone who believes in me may come to me and drink. We talked about being in a desert, being thirsty. Jesus says, anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scripture declares, rivers of living water will flow from his heart. Jesus says, hey, if you're thirsty, if you're in a desert, if you grew up in a desert family, that's okay. If you believe in me and come to me, you could drink to your fill. So much so that you will be overflowing with not a trickle, not a brook, not a stream, but not even just a river. But you notice it says what? Rivers. River, multiple rivers of love and life will start gushing forth from you if you just take your fill and drink of the love that I have for you. 1 John 4:16, we know how much God loves us. Do we know how much God loves us? We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. God made you to be loved. That was his primary purpose. He created you, is to love you, because God wanted to share his love with someone else. So he created people to share, because God is love. And out of the overflow of God, of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in this loving fellowship together, out of that loving fellowship that is God, naturally, out of the abundance of his love, he wanted to share that with someone, with people, and that's you. That's why he made you. God made you to be loved and to love. And to love. In 1 John 4:10, we see the Bible gives us a definition of love. 1 John 4:10, it says this. This is real love. It's like, okay, tune out. We ask the question, what is love? The Bible says, this is real love right here. Not that we loved God. You know, some people think this whole thing with faith or Christianity or religion, many people think that, okay, I have to do something for God first. I have to love God first. I have to fulfill all these things first. I have to do all these things that the Bible says first. I got to clean up my life first. I got to be better than I am first before God will ever, ever love or accept me or look at me. That's why many people run away from the church. want to stay away from the church, from Christianity, from the Lord, from God, because they think God is an angry God shaking his finger at them, holding all these things against them. But this says, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. God made the first move. God said, you don't have to do a thing. I'm going to act first because God is love. You know, because God is love, he doesn't react to us. He doesn't, right, like, change because of how we behave. He doesn't adjust who he is because of who we are or how we're behaving. He's God. He's love. And he always loves. Why? Because that's who he is. He's love. He's a loving God. And he will always love because that's who he is. He doesn't change. We don't have the power to make him change and adjust and react and, you know, all those things. Just because we disobey, just because we do wrong things, just because we do what he would like us not to do or tells us not to do, that doesn't stop God from loving because he is love. And that's who he is. And he acts out of who he is always. Always. So he doesn't withhold things because of how we act. He withholds things for our good out of his love because those things may not be good for us or to help us to come to him. But he doesn't withhold because he's angry and mean and wants to punish. Because he always acts out of who he is. And the Bible says the greatest power in the world is love. It's funny, Kyle read that verse earlier, and I don't know if Kyle even knew what I was talking about. He read 1 Corinthians 13:13, and that's right in my notes right here, 1 Corinthians 13:13. Three things will last forever, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. God wants you to believe in him and his love for you. To know him and his love for you, to experience him and his love for you every single day. You know, this was several years ago. Some of you have heard this, but I was taking a walk. And sometimes I take walks just to spend time with God. It's like me taking a walk with God. And when I'm walking, I pray, I talk to God, I share my heart with him. I ask him for things or for guidance or wisdom. This one day, I don't know what I was going through, but I was going through something, and I was kind of maybe kind of down, and then I was walking, and I just thought, and I just asked, I said, God, can you just show me today your love for me? That's all I asked. And then after a few steps, I got this vision. Okay, so a vision's not something spooky or weird. It's just like if I say, picture your bedroom, right? You kind of get a picture in your mind. In your mind's eye, you could get it. It was like that. But I got this vision, and in this vision, I was on the ground, and there was all of these steps to this huge platform. On the top of the platform, I saw this throne, this awesome throne, and a figure sitting on the throne. And I knew, oh, that's Father God. That's God. And as I was in this vision and I was looking at God on the throne, something shocked me because God stood up out of his throne. You know, it's kind of weird. You know, we all get these different images of God, and I have pictured God on the throne, but I never pictured God getting up out of his throne. He's always just sitting there on his throne being God, right? He stood up out of his throne. And then he started walking down the stairs towards me. I was like, what is going on, right? I didn't know God could walk, right? I mean, I always thought he just sat in his chair, right? He starts walking towards me, and I couldn't fit see his, but he stood, I knew he stood right in front of me. And then something happened that blew my mind. This is Father God, right? In my, I just knew it was Father God. He knelt down before me, and he started washing my feet. And I was like losing my mind. I was like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Because this is Father God, God Almighty, right? God, holy God, perfect and all power, right? I was like, what are you doing? And then he just washed my feet. And then the vision stopped. And then I was like, what was that? Is that true? This is bad. This is like, am I a heretic for even thinking this? And then I felt like the Holy Spirit brought to my mind two passages. This one's the first one. It says, therefore, Jesus answered and was saying to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son, Jesus talking, the Son can do nothing of himself. So Jesus says, I can't do anything of myself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in the same way. So Jesus is saying in this verse, John 5:19, everything I do, it is something I have already seen the Father do. I can't do anything of my own. Whatever I do, the Father does, we're like one together. So he's saying, everything I do, it's what I've already seen the Father do. Now let's look at John 13:4-5. Jesus got up from supper, laid his outer garments aside. He took a towel and tied it around himself. Then he poured water into the basin and began washing the disciples' feet. Jesus washed the disciples' feet at the Last Supper. Jesus said, I don't do anything unless it's something I've seen the Father do. I felt like the Holy Spirit brought those verses to me. I was like, I just started bawling. That Father God would love me so much, me, insignificant little me, he would love me that much that he would be so humble to wash my feet. And I experienced the love of the Father, the heart of the Father, the love of God in a fresh way. He answered my prayer. I just said, God, can you just show me your love in a fresh way? And that was so powerful, so powerful. God wants you to know his love, to understand who he is as a loving guide, but he wants you to experience his love for you every day. When you believe in God's love, when you know God loves you, the God who created you, God of heaven and earth, when you know he loves you and you receive his love and you experience his love, it will change your life for the better in amazing ways. Because when you believe in love and his love and you tap into the reservoir of who he is and his love, even if you lacked all those 10 things growing up as a child, God can give you in abundance what you lacked. Even if you've been through some very horrific hurts, abuses, pain, God can supply you with enough love and overflowing love so you could eat. So you could heal from that and overcome that. God can give you love for those people. You know those people that are hard to love, right? They're called EGRs, extra grace required. We all have those people in our lives, like, they require extra grace. And sometimes double and triple X, right? But God can give you a love for those people that require extra grace in your life. God can give you a love so that you could extend patience and grace to your spouse and to your children when they're not acting perfectly. God can give you a love so that you can feel secure even in difficult situations, even in troubled times, even during job losses, illnesses, financial difficulties, pandemics. God's love can give you a security even in the midst of all that. Just closing, one of my very favorite verses. It's kind of like my verse over the decades. It's very simple verse, 1 John 4:19. We love because he first loved us. Look to God for the love that you desire, you want, you need, because he loves you for who you are. He knows you completely, and he loves you for who you are. Seek out his love every day, and he will transform you and give you the love and the power to see miraculous, amazing changes in your life for the better. And all the people around you will be able to see and taste the love of God through you. Let's bow forward prayer. Lord, we sing the song, your love is amazing. And sometimes, Lord, we even say, God, your love, and those become like too familiar to us. But Lord, you are love. You are awesome, almighty God. And you have shown and demonstrated and poured out your love upon us. You are that awesome, huge reservoir of love and grace and goodness that's available. Jesus, you said almost 2,000 years ago, you say today to us, if you believe in me, come and drink. Come and drink. Drink to your fill. Drink all you want. Drink to your heart's content. Drink so that it washes over and heals all the things in your life or your past or your history or your hurt. Drink all you want so that I can release rivers of living water and love in and through you. Lord, I pray that you would speak to each one. Show yourself to each one here, that they would know and see that you love them and you desire them to come into loving relationship with you. Thank you, Lord. And if anyone here, if you don't know the Lord, you've never put your faith in the Lord, you've never received Jesus, and you go, I need that kind of love. There's something inside of you that says, I need and I want that kind of love. All you have to do is, in your own mind and heart, just tell the Lord, just right where you are, just tell the Lord, Lord, I believe in you, and I don't fully understand, but I want to, and I want to receive your love today. I want to receive your love today. And just tell him that, and he will start moving in your life. Thank you, Lord, for our time, and we just want to pour out our love to you in response with this couple of songs of worship. So thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for our online service. Hope you will join us in person sometime. It'd be great to see you and meet you. Don't forget to subscribe to our Catalyst YouTube channel so you don't miss out on anything. And be blessed this week. And as always, thank you, Jesus.